Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Back now with more CBS Eye on Veterans. I'm Chaz Henry. They're making fellow vets laugh, people still in the military too, a couple former Marines now at the forefront of an explosion of military humor.
Hi, I'm sorry, do you want me to go first?
Go, Max.
Go.
Hi, I'm Maximilian Uriarte, and I am the creator of Terminal Lance.
I just gotta say, the Uriarte really flows. I loved it. Hi, my name is Paul Zolder. I'm the founder and editor-in-chief of Duffelblog and a columnist at Task and Purpose.
So what's behind all this laughter in the ranks? I asked Paul and Max, what's so funny about military life?
There's absolutely nothing funny about the military. We should be respectful and never joke about these serious I'm just kidding.
This sounds like something you might have heard, though.
Yeah, actually.
No, you know, in my honest opinion, I think Lance Corporals, and that's more my specialty. Paul deals with the more senior officers and senior enlisted types.
I do not distinguish. It's just all across the board.
But. Yeah. I legitimately believe Lance Corporals to be the funniest people on the planet. There's something about putting like 50 hyper-masculine 21-year-olds in the same room with nothing to do. They have the best ideas and the funniest things to talk about.
And the worst ideas. Let's be serious.
Which are always the funniest.
So there's a natural humor there. As a former Marine, I have to ask, is it just a coincidence that the two of you both served in the Marine Corps and find yourself dealing with issues of humor?
Also the same unit.
Yes, the same unit.
Different times. Yeah, so there is something in the water in Kaneohe Bay, Hawaii.
Yeah, well, there's definitely something in the water in Camp Pendleton. I don't know if you saw the news about that.
Oh, yeah, that's true. Yeah.
Well, in Camp Lejeune when I served there.
Was that like back with General Washington, or when were you in?
It was, he didn't like Marines either. I don't know if you heard that. So there's a long tradition of humor in the military. We look at World War II. You've got the cartoonist Bill Mauldin. Post-war, there were those humor and uniform stories in Reader's Digest. They were kind of interesting and kind of their time. Are you guys successors to a tradition that goes way back?
I've gotten it before. Like, people have told me that I'm like this generation's Bill Mauldin. But I can't say that myself. I enjoy making Marines laugh. And Marines make me laugh every day, so that's all I try to do is keep that going.
I think the same thing. I mean, I'm not going to decide what Duffelblog is or means to people. I mean, that's for people to say. But I just, after it's been going on for, I think it's 6 years old now, over the years I've heard from people, like I've heard from Vietnam vets who said, hey, this reminds me of, we had this underground satire magazine that we used to pass around, you know, in Nam, and like we were making fun of generals back then. And then someone else told me about stuff, a thing called, I believe it was the Wipers Times in World War I. It was this really, really dark humor pamphlet.
So dark.
It was very dark, very dark. Like it was like they're all, you know, we're gonna go over the trench and they're all gonna gas us today. Like that would be a headline. Like it was really bad. Like, but that's kind of how they coped with the madness of it all. So, whether we're this generation of it, I don't know, but I think it's really it's just a continuation. Like that humor has always been there. In the military services.
So the two of you have obviously looked back on military humor in the past. As you read that and you see what is sort of in vogue now, do you find more similarity than difference, or is there a real twist to what we're reading and seeing now?
I personally find a lot of similarity. I mean, I think I get emails all the time from guys that were in like years ago, you know, 20, 30 years ago, and they read my comic and they email me and they're like, nothing has changed. Like, it is exactly the same as it was when I was in. The same stuff, the same dumb stuff. And they really enjoy it. And that's why I think Terminal Lance has been able to resonate with so many different generations of Marines and service members, is just because of how universal that humor is throughout every generation.
Yeah.
And I'm sure it's the same for Paul, too.
Well, I think it's funny. My old man, he was in the Army in the 70s, and he reads Duffelblog every day. He loves Duffelblog. And there are some things that he doesn't get because maybe there's some newer acronym that the military created mm-hmm. and we used it, or, you know, some sort of new weapon system or whatever that's kind of like outside of his experience. But the underlying precepts of the humor is stuff that he gets. And I think there's other Vietnam vets that are readers. I mean, we have a pretty older readers as well. So I think it's there. I think there is a difference, though, today with humor around the military. Not with the military generation. The people are in the military are totally fine with making fun of it. But my experience with Duffelblog of people that are outside of the military post 9/11,
yeah,
they are the ones that get super mad about making fun of the military. They're like, oh, my God, I can't believe you would attack the military. And it's like this weird, like, pseudo-nationalistic patriotism that's really crazy, that where it's like you can't make fun of the military. Like, there's no military comedies out anymore. Like, MASH is not a thing anymore. Like, there's no, like, movies that really make fun of the military. Sergeant Bilko, where's that?
Stripes.
Like, it's...
Yeah.
Yeah, Stripes, same thing. It's like, it used to be a normal thing, and now it's not really palatable to people outside of the military.
There's this show a few years ago called Enlisted, and I spent like a week in the writer's room at Fox working with Kevin Beagle and them, and everybody I met on the show was super awesome. I felt like it was really hard for them to take a lot of risks with the humor, though. Like, they were so afraid of offending a demographic of like really patriotic, you know, Americans that wouldn't have it. But in my experience working with Terminal Lance, and like Paul just said, it's always people that are not in the military anymore that don't want to hear it, that just like cannot handle some poking fun at it. It's never guys that are active duty. The active duty guys are the chillest, most awesome people in the world. And then for whatever reason, as soon as they get out, something just flips inside of them and they just can't take it anymore.
You put on the hat. You put on the veteran hat.
Yeah, you
hat
get that, the veteran
with the,
hat.
With your T-shirt that's got the American flag.
Your grunt style shirt.
You're like, all of a sudden, you loved your military experience every minute of it. There was nothing ever wrong with it.
Even though you
it
complained about it for 4 years straight. And then as soon as you get out, it's like, hoorah, Semper Fi, devil dog, hoorah.
So what are the perpetually dumb things that you find have been and continue to be these comedic bounce points?
Formation. Standing in formation is number one. Standing around, waiting for word. The word is, you're always waiting for it.
Yeah, you know, it's funny because when I'm trying to think of a new comic, I sort of just come up with these general bullet points in my notepad. I'm just like, MREs, chow hall, formation, field
weapons,
ops.
Weapons turn in.
And then I sort of think of like, where can I go with that? And like, figure out some way to turn that into a joke. And it's like, it's always funny. It's just always miserable. And where I've been able to succeed with Terminal Lance is just focusing on the misery of it. Which I think is hard for some people because they're like, how dare you say the Marine Corps is miserable? And I'm like, everybody I knew when I was enlisted hated being enlisted so much.
It was,
and so I hone in on that. Just like, this sucks, it's miserable, and everybody hates being there. It's like nobody wants to be there, but they're all forced to be, and that's just the Marine Corps, like in a nutshell.
I think for people who are not, you know, weren't in the military or not aware, I think if you... Like, if you look at any crappy office job, like, you know, Scott Adams with Dilbert has highlighted this pretty well with the Dilbert series, with like dealing with the crazy boss and like all the menial tasks and stuff like that. You can literally put that guy in a uniform and it'd be the military. Like, there's just, it's just those people, those dumb bosses, the stupid work you have to do, like that all exists in the military. There's no difference, except you can't really quit.
Yeah, you can't. There's no option.
Yeah, there's no quitting. There's no leaving to go get another job. Like, you do your time, like it's prison.
It kind of is. Like, I did a comic strip about this a couple months ago where a potential recruit was talking to a recruiter. He's sitting across from him at the desk, and he's all like, hey, you know, you say the Marine Corps is, like, really great. So I was just thinking, what if I tried it out for, like, a year? And if I don't like it, you know, maybe I'll just sign a one-year contract instead of 4 years. And then the recruiter just starts sweating because it's like, you got to get him for 4 years. Otherwise, nobody would stay for the whole thing.
So when I was at the officer's basic school, we would have to write peer evaluations. This is how you learn to write evaluations of your troops. And so we would write about each other. You'd be forced to write. We called them spear evaluations because they always wanted you to be highly critical. And people would write of me, "Warrant Officer Henry feels a need to tell jokes in formation." I took that to be a good thing. I thought I was, when things were really bad, making people laugh was a good thing. Do you see yourselves as being therapeutic in that way?
I'm surprised, as a warrant officer, you were in formation at all.
This was for 4 months. After that, it was cool.
I find that Marines, like, Terminal Lance didn't exist when I was in the Marine Corps, and I wish something like Terminal Lance or Duffelblog existed when I was in the Marine Corps, because to have somebody out there that gets it and, like, understands how horrible it is. And I know that the Marine Corps proper probably would rather I don't talk about how miserable it is, but it is. And that's not changing anytime soon. So it may as well let me make fun of it and let them do the Marine Corps stuff, you know?
Yeah. I look at it, like, I relate it this way where, you know, before these things existed, and we're actually not the only kind of humor things in the military space. Yeah. All these new kind of things have popped up over the years, and that's been great. But it used to be the case where you're standing in formation, and then your sphere of influence, if you're a Lance Corporal in the Marine Corps, is like the guy to your left and your right, and you're like mad at the commanding officer, it won't come out, and you've been standing there for 20 minutes, and you just look to your left and you go, "Man, the CO sucks. Like, this is ridiculous. We're standing here for no reason." And then, like, the other guy's like, "Yeah." And that's, like, it. That's all you have to reach. But now, like, a person that's writing at Duffelblog can basically do that same complaint in a satirical, funny way and reach, you know, thousands or millions of people potentially. And it's the same thing for Max with Terminal Lance. Like, he's basically, it's not like he's making all this stuff up. All these complaints are there, and he writes a funny comic out of it and reaches way more people in the military, and they're all looking at it going, "Huh, I thought that same thing too." Like, all these things exist. We just kind of play on it.
Yeah.
Max, explain the name of the strip. People who have not served in the Marine Corps might not get Terminal Lance.
Right. So I get asked this a lot. So a Lance Corporal in the Marine Corps is the rank of E3. It's the third enlisted rank, so it's private first class, Lance Corporal. And typically in a ideal Marine Corps career, you'd make it your 4 years, and you'd probably pick up the next rank of Corporal. Like, if you were, you know, if everything worked out the way it's kind of supposed to, like in the Marine Corps way. Mm-hmm. But very often, and this happened to me, you may not pick up Corporal. And so to be a Terminal Lance is to be a Marine getting out of the Marine Corps as a Lance Corporal. And that usually has a connotation to it that you've quote unquote dropped your pack, or you just don't care anymore. Like, you've done trying. You sort of accepted the miserable fate of being a Lance Corporal, and you're done, and you're getting out, and you don't want to reenlist. And that was me. So that's
I would actually just like to add to that, because he didn't say it, but for people that are listening, they think, like, "Oh, Lance Corporal, like, he couldn't pick up because he wasn't a good enough Marine or something." The reality is, in the Marine Corps, they have a thing called a cutting score, which they publish every month. And most Lance Corporals are, at least for me, for a period of time over like 6 months or so, I was, quote, chasing the score.
Yeah.
And my score that I would needed to get to pick up was just under what they gave. And, like, you do that every month and you're like, "All right, one more month and I'm going to hit it." And then they raise the bar again. Like, it's the Marine Corps constantly screwing you over.
Yeah, they just move that goalpost a little bit.
Yeah. You
know? I think by the time I got out of the Marine Corps, my cutting score was something like 1775, probably, just to be extra moto, but it was something like that. But the score was either, like, closed out, or, like, the month prior to that it would be like 1750, and I'd be at like a 1749. And because my MOS specifically, which was 0351, which is no longer a thing, actually, that just got phased out finally. It was like impossible for anybody with my MOS to pick up. And meanwhile, you'd have some pogue at IPAC picking up with like an 1100 cutting score or something.
Because it was different for every occupational field based on how many the Marine Corps had and needed in a given month.
Correct, yeah. Yeah.
Yes,
yeah.
Which is silly, because the rank still applies across the board. So, like, somebody at IPAC is a corporal, he's still got to call him corporal and respect him like one, even though he may not earn it in the same way that someone in your own MOS might.
So you guys have been out for a while. Obviously, your ideas still reflect back on your own experience, but I'm guessing that you're also getting a lot of input, bouncing ideas. And I know with Duffelblog particularly, there's a whole contributor network.
Yeah, exactly. It's actually kind of hard for, like, it's been I guess it's been 10 years for me now, which is it's insane to think about since I've gotten out of the Marine Corps. And so when I first started Duffelblog, I thought for sure I was going to run out of stuff to do or like run out of things to write within like a year. You know, I'm thinking, there's no way that you can keep doing this. And, you know, fortunately, people have written me, you know, within the first few months, I had a guy that was sitting in Kuwait who basically was like, hey, can I write for you? This is awesome. I really want to do this. I'm like, I guess, sure. That's great. And then it just kind of went from there. And so there's been contributors from all across the military, different ranks, just all these different experiences. And they bring so much more to Duffelblog than what I would have done by myself. You know, the success of Duffelblog is because of the contributors. And they keep it fresh, and it actually helped me learn new things about the military that I didn't know before. Like, I feel like I know a heck of a lot more about just what it is like in the Army or the Air Force or whatever, whereas I had this sort of parody view of what life was like over there when, you know, the reality is that, like, it really sucks in the Army just as much as it sucks in the Marines. And so,
but not in the Air Force.
No, the Air Force, they have nothing to complain about.
Yeah, yeah. It's...
There's nothing to complain about.
Yeah, but the same thing sort of works with me in Terminal Lance. Like, and people ask me this all the time, like, how do you keep coming up with comic strips? And I'm like, honestly, I have no idea. but every week I'm like, God, I got to come up with something. And so I write and I come up with something. But essentially what Terminal Lance, it began really, you know, about me and my experience. And what it sort of shifted into, I think, over the last few years is I get hundreds of messages a day, just like, nonstop, Lance Corporal stuff, homegrown, 100% organic, fresh, non-GMO Lance Corporal material sent to me on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, etc. And so Terminal Lance has really become about, it's a platform for the Lance Corporals of the Marine Corps, for the active duty Lance Corporals of the Marine Corps to send me stuff, and I'll post it, and it'll be funny, and it's awesome. And then all I have to do is come up with a comic strip twice a week. So,
well, actually, it's funny. I've actually seen his Facebook inbox, you know, where all these Lance Corporals and different Marines just sending him all this stuff. He runs like the most sophisticated Marine Corps intelligence service I have ever seen. He knows more about what's going on in the Marine Corps than the Commandant.
I probably see more every day than anybody else in the Marine Corps. As
it's
far
so
as, like,
funny.
If he
stuff.
Starts making frequent flights to Shanghai and Beijing, we need to worry.
Yeah, yeah.
No worries about that.
So, Max, you write a strip that is... sometimes, and often, I should say, the humor is what would be described as sophomoric, not highbrow.
Oh, I don't know about that, sir.
But how dare you?
But you also published a graphic novel that is one of the most poignant descriptions of combat and thinking things through after combat that I've ever read. So there's this overlap of humor and poignancy, which seems to make sense since the humor kind of grows from things, you know, not going well, not being comfortable in the field, that sort of thing. How do you see that arc working?
Well, I mean, you're referring to The White Donkey, which is at bookstores everywhere. It's available everywhere books are sold, and from Little Brown. And we also just have the new Terminal Lance Ultimate Omnibus, also available at Barnes & Noble. And
you are so shameless.
no, but, you know, I like The White Donkey was a very personal journey for me as a book. It was really like... me taking it wasn't so much about like, oh, I want to write a book about my experience, which was sort of it, but it was more about taking what I learned and finding meaning in it, and what did it mean to me to go through all this, what did I take away from it, and so that was what I was really trying to distill into that book. And, you know, I think that you can have profound thoughts and still laugh at a penis every once in a while. I don't think those are mutually exclusive concepts. What I love about Lance Corporals and people, you know, of course it is very sophomoric, as you say. But they're so inventive with the humor. Like, there's just an imagination to it that I just love. And they make me laugh every day with just the random... weird stuff that they send me that you couldn't make up. There's no substitute for it.
And whether it's those Lance Corporals responding to Terminal Lance or somebody working at the Pentagon writing for Duffelblog, there's an irreverence that is very American too.
I think so. I don't know. I was waiting for a question there. That's
change my mind.
Yeah. Well, yes, absolutely. So you're correct.
So reverent, so dark.
Yeah.
I feel like the word irreverent has been like tainted by the veteran
really, community. Yeah, a little bit.
I try not to use it.
It's like, oh, it's so dark.
So dark, so reverent.
It's my dark humor. like sometimes when there's a like a crappy joke, like not as good joke is being told, and then like there's like uncomfortable laughter, and it's like, oh, sorry, it's my dark humor.
You don't understand my dark sense of humor.
You don't understand what it's like in the military. We have this dark sense of humor where this would kill it at the barracks, but you just don't get it.
Yeah, like, no, this is a terrible joke. It's not funny. Like, yeah. It's simple.
In World War II, Bill Malden was writing comics that we look at now and were incredibly tame. And I wouldn't even call them irreverent. They didn't seem as dark as we're going to go over the top tomorrow morning and all be killed. But how do you find in official realms your work is being received? Do you get pushback?
You know, sometimes. It's not often. I've had a couple conversations with General Neller sometimes. Like,
he's the commandant of the Marine Corps now.
Yeah, he'll send me an email and be like, Max, we need to talk about this. Like, what? Very rarely. He's super cool usually. But you know, like sometimes my work goes against like what they may be trying to do, and I just have to remind them that's not my job. And you know, I very rarely get pushback. I think that officially, Terminal Lance has really become like a staple of the Marine Corps at this point. I mean, it's so like embedded in the culture. As like what it is, people tend to appreciate it for like being exactly what it is, which is just an outlet for Marines to laugh at each other.
Yeah, it's also, I mean, a reflection of that is just how much stuff you get in your inbox. Yeah. It's like all these Marines just sitting around in the field, we're like, I got to get on Terminal Lance, like, let's shoot a video real quick, you know. But for Duffelblog, I mean, I'll occasionally get some hate mail, but it's usually from somebody that's not affiliated with the military. Like, people always ask me, like, oh, you must get a whole lot of hate mail. And it's like, not really. It's generally well received. Defense Secretary Mattis has praised Duffelblog in the past when he was not Defense Secretary, but still, nonetheless, it was pretty awesome to hear him say some kind words. I had heard from George Little, who used to be the Pentagon spokesman under Obama, and he actually instructed his public affairs officers and enlisted folks to be reading Duffelblog and watching The Daily Show, among other things, which I was like, that's really cool. So I think more often than not, Duffelblog's pretty well received in the military community, and it's like one of those things where, same as Max, like, basically if something big happens in the news, you know, a great example is the Trump announcing the Space Force, you know, and like that whole thing, it's just ripe for, you know, funny satirical takes. And after something like that happens, people are like, oh man, I can't wait to hear what Duffelblog does with this. Like, what's Duffelblog's take on this? And, you know, and we've certainly delivered. We have like Space Force takes upon Space Force. But
yeah, as soon as that happened, I had like three comic strips ready to go. And I was like, man, which one am I going to run? Yeah. But yeah, I think that for the most part, you know, Duffelblog and Terminal Lance together, like, There's a thread of, or really, it relies on honesty. Like, we're just honest about what's going on. And I think there's a hunger for that in the military community. Because I know that when I was in, when I was active duty, like, there was nobody speaking the truth. There was nobody out there, like, really saying how miserable this is and how stupid this is. It was all like, you know, hoorah, simplify, guys. And it was like, I didn't want to see that. That wasn't my real life. That was just like a like outsider's perspective of like how the Marine Corps is, and I never liked that. So I think that if I knew that if I had hunger for it, I'm sure other people did, and I'm sure Paul felt the same way. And so I think that that is why it really resonates with everybody. It's just that honesty.
You know what else I find kind of strange about the we do our respective things to kind of complain about this or that, like, this is kind of a stupid policy, or this is, you know, this doesn't make any sense. And then if you look in the comments section on any given, whether it's a Duffelblog or Terminal Lance or a military news story, people are like, oh, what, that's it?
Like, really? We're complaining about this officer that's treating his aide like a servant? Like, he's making him he's making him clean his bed sheets? I'm referencing an egg investigation that came out yesterday. Like, oh my God, he's making him pick up meals at the chow hall? That's what happens to, like, every enlisted guy. And it's like, okay, like, that's so? Like, we're going to just accept it? Be like, oh, this is a great thing. This is just how the military works? Like, it's just such a stupid mindset.
I mean, as a Lance Corporal, I would have. What do you expect? Is it an officer?
No. Of course. Yeah, of course you accept it because you're a Lance Corporal or whatever and you don't know any better. But it's like if somebody's going to bring it up as like, hey, this is a dumb policy, I don't get the pushback from people in the military that are like, man, I can't believe, like, my core is going soft. Like,
yeah. It's so ridiculous.
Back in the old core, I had to iron the general's uniforms and, like, you know, it's just like, what?
Like, maybe
the
hell? Shouldn't have been. I don't know. Yeah.
Like, he didn't ask. I just did it. But,
yeah.
You do these two products, Terminal Lance and Duffelblog, and now you're sort of combining and merging and doing a podcast occasionally together.
We are. Maybe.
Occasionally.
Occasionally. We have to figure out a schedule. It's fun to do. It's just that Max lives in L.A. and I live in Dana Point, and the commute sucks.
Yeah, it's like a three-hour thing. So we always got to try to, like, coordinate something. Yeah. So we've been sort of on hiatus for the last few months. Hoping we'll get back into it. But, we don't have a schedule.
So you guys were making fun of my name saying your dog was Chaz what?
His name's Charlie, okay. But that turned into Chaz, Chazzercise, Chazzy Bear, Chazosaurus.
Is your name actually Chaz, or is it Charles?
It's Charles. It's short.
My dog have a lot in common.
So on names, in the Marine Corps, you know, in the barracks, people are notoriously very kind to each other and about this sort of thing. So when you're named Maximilian, what's it like in the barracks?
Well, more importantly, when your name Uriarte is on your chest, because that's my last name, and my like first week in the Marine Corps fleet, I get to my barracks room, I get to my room, whatever, and I meet my section, the assault section, and one of my corporals is like, "How do you say your name?" And I was like, "Uriarte," and he's like, "Yeah, what? That's too hard. What's your first name?" It's like Max. He's like, "Okay, we're just gonna call you Max because that's easier on everybody." So then my nickname just became my actual name, which I kind of lucked out on, I think.
You know? Yeah, you totally lucked out on, because everybody else has like a terrible name or nickname or something. Like,
yeah, even my first sergeant was calling me Maximilian. You'd see me and be like, "Maximilian, how's it going?" So it worked out.
Well, Paul, you had a few letters, a few consonants.
Well, my name is really, it's weird if you look at it. It's Zoldra, but it has an S-Z because of my Polish heritage. Mm-hmm. They just don't know how to spell. So I have an SZ in front of my Zoldra. So if you just have to forget the S, that's it. That's all you got to know to pronounce it correctly. But nobody ever gets that. So I was basically called Soldier, Zoldara, but mostly Soldier. Like everybody, which is funny in the Marine Corps, like everybody is like, "Oh, Soldier, come here." And then he's like, "Wait, did you call that Marine a Soldier?" No, that's his name. And it's like that kind of thing. But I had a drill instructor one time. I can't believe I've gone into boot camp stories, but it is related. I had this drill instructor one time who saw my name tape, looked at it and was like, "Soldier, are you a soldier?" And I was like, "Yes, sir." Like, yeah, I don't know any better, right? And he's like, "All right, well, I want you to say something for me." And he's like, "You got to say I'm a soldier just like I told you." And I'm like, so white. Like, I am really white. Like, I can't do the, I can't, like, I'm not a rapper. I can't do it with the finesse, you know?
You're not Eminem.
I am not Eminem. So I'm just walking around the pits at the rifle range going, "I'm a soldier just like I told you, sir. I'm a soldier just like I told you, sir." And he was, like, laughing himself silly. So, anyway, many people have had fun at the expense of my last name, so.
You know, he wasn't supposed to do that, Paul.
He was not.
That's not regulation.
I believe that was hazing. Yeah. I was very hazed, and
let's do an IG.
I am very upset by it.
You alluded to boot camp stories, and I've always had a theory that every Marine, and this may hold true in other services, but definitely every Marine has the same number of sea stories slash war stories. It's just that early on, every one of them begins, and then my drill instructor.
Yeah, I think so.
Well,
my drill instructor
too.
Got so mad.
He was trying so hard to get you to do a boot camp story, Max.
Yeah, I know. I have some. You know, I what's funny about my boot camp experience is really different. I was the artist recruit. Because I can draw, and that's like the worst thing in the world. If anybody in the Marine Corps finds out that you're an artist and you can paint or draw, don't tell anybody. Just don't ever show anybody your sketchbooks or anything like that, because they will have you drawing and painting every stupid company mural, every battalion headquarters wall painting that you know. It's like, oh, get that artist kid.
Hold on a second. I got to push back here, because I was not an artist recruit.
Uh-huh.
However, The during the week of being the artist recruit, where you draw those block cover block things, I did not show my art skills, because I have none, but I did somehow. He figured out, my drill instructor figured out, that I knew computers, and so during that week, all the artist recruits were drawing and stuff. I was in the drill instructor hut at the computer, like doing Excel or something for the drill instructor for some physical stuff, probably doing his homework at college. Yeah. I don't know. He just made me do it. But that whole week was like, I didn't have to do anything. That was like the whole, like, they do the laundry, or they have to work in the chow hall. Like, yeah, that's your platoon is doing all this crap. And then they come back and they're getting wrecked. Like, they are getting smoked so bad, doing push-ups, everything. And the artist recruits are just like, oh my God, I don't want to look over there. And I'm on the computer and I'm like, I'm not doing any of that. And like, you do not have to do any of that stuff. It's almost like a week off.
I feel like you don't understand. I'm a master skater. I'm Tony Hawk of the Marine Corps. Like, I was the artist recruit. Not only that, I'm Jewish. So that was great in boot camp, because on Fridays we would go to temple. This is Friday night, you know, and we would do that, and we'd go have fun. We'd go to the synagogue, and we'd like drink wine and eat bread and stuff. And then we come back Friday night, everybody's ready for bed. So, but on Sunday, all the Christians would go to church, and we weren't allowed to go, obviously, but there was nothing for us to do. So we would just sit in the squad bay and read comics.
You're like a religious double dipper. This is so unfair. I went to the Catholic service on Sunday. I didn't know you could do the Jewish thing on Friday.
Well, you're not Jewish, Paul.
I should have said it. I should have been like, let me in here.
A lot of note taking for young people headed to boot camp here, I think.
Yeah, seriously. You claim to be Jewish to get out of boot camp stuff on Fridays, and then
Well, you know,
Sundays you get out of doing, you know, anything really tough as well.
It was a risk, because the drill instructor walked in like the first week of boot camp, and he's like, who here is Jewish? Without saying why. And I'm just like, usually when the military starts asking for the Jews, like, it doesn't end well. So I was like, should I raise my hand?
Historically, like, questionable.
Yeah. Yeah.
So Paul Soldra, who created Double Vlog, and Maximilian Uriarte, creator and the terminal lance of the Marine Corps these days. Appreciate your time today, and tell us about the book again, Max.
Oh, yeah. We got Terminal Lance Ultimate Omnibus. Just came out a couple months ago from Little Brown. Available everywhere books are sold, along with the White Donkey and the graphic novel section. Check it out.
Guys, thanks a lot. Appreciate your time. Great talking with you.
Thank you so much for having us.
Thank you.
Oh, such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, a Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.